Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 562 and three quarters, up 12 and a half. Soft May, 524 and a half, up 12 and a half. May corn, 379 and a half, up six. July, 387 and a quarter, up five and three quarters. December, 404 and a quarter, up five and a quarter, now five and a half. May beans, 977 and a half, up 15 and three quarters. July, 982, up 15 and a quarter. November, 959 and three quarters, up 13 and a half. May soybean meal, 325, up 570. May soybean oil, 3090, up 28. April live cattle, 157.70, down 30. March feeders are unchanged at 214.05. And April lean hogs are 58.80, and they are up 70. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, I wanted to make the case yesterday afternoon and early this morning that, especially in the soybeans, that the spike high that we saw after the dollar lost as much value as it did in 6 years on one day, might have put an upper end on the marketplace in Novi beans, at least heading into the end of the month. But maybe that's not true given today's trade.
No, I think it takes the market a little bit of time to digest what the Federal Reserve did. I mean, certainly it was a surprise to me. Not only did they delay the liftoff mindset, but they essentially told the market that the dollar is not a very good safe haven. And they said this because in terms of their documentation or their numbers, because they lowered about every important economic number that they could lower in their forecasting, Dave. And so in the day of computerized trading and algorithmic trading, markets can be just as inefficient as they were back the last time that this really happened in a big, big way, and that was in the late 90s when we saw the U.S. economy slow down as a result of sharply higher dollar, sharply lower crude prices, and the U.S. got caught up in the rest of the world economy. And I think this is where, you know, the trade, the currency trade, the financial market trade was really caught off guard, and that's why you had that biggest one-day fall on the index in 6 years. And so I think that's a big, big thing to keep in mind if you're an agricultural marketer, whether it's hogs, cattle, or corn, beans, or wheat. The power of these algorithmic traders is much more concentrated, but the market itself is just as inefficient, and you can get on to one side of the boat or the other very, very quickly and go against what the government sees or what the real economy actually is pointing to. And I think this is the heart and soul of the market this week. Early in the week, we had weather starting to support the market, but that was offset by really weak demand on the export front. We actually hit lows not seen and took out lows not seen since January in corn and beans. Wheat was fighting back the whole week, but couldn't seem to get any kind of traction. And then we saw this Federal Reserve commentary come out. They are spooked by the dollar strength, and the financial markets realize that, and they realize the dollar's not a good safe haven, and maybe the euro's not a bad buy now because the Germans and the Greeks talked last night, and things seem to be very, very good going into the weekend between those two parties. And so this is where, when at one point we're hitting lows not seen since January, and in the case of some of these grain indexes, we went down to the lowest level since October last year. Now, all of a sudden, we're seeing a market refresh itself thanks to that dollar, and all of a sudden, we're seeing a market that we're up on the week in beans, we're near a 4.5-week high in the wheat in the U.S. market, 7-week high in the European market, and the corn is about a penny away from going higher on the week. So this is the type of market we're in now going into the acreage report, I think.
So the question is, does 964 and 4 and then 405 and a quarter on harvest months represent much resistance at this point? And if not, do they then go ahead and resolve themselves back as support, which is what they had been?
I think so. I think if you can get a close above 520 in lead month wheat and break above a level on a closing basis on a weekly close, that you haven't seen in about 5 weeks. You stay below 99 on the June dollar index, and you have in the making, with the weather models, turning drier in the hard red wheat belt, still very wet in the Delta, and a snowstorm coming in the upper Midwest northern plains, which really coincides nicely with NOAA's spring outlook that they put out yesterday, that the trade, I think, will start to look at the supply side more and not be as negatively influenced by demand deflation or dollar deflation. Why? Because the dollar is giving a short-term sell signal. So I think this next week of trade, if we can go positive on the week in the corn and meet all those other criteria we just talked about, I think next week's trade is a good week for the upside potential because the weather will probably stay in focus along with the acreage numbers. And this is where, with the levels we just hit in new crop corn and beans, I think it's safe to say, and some of the private estimates we've seen already, it's safe to say, I think, the trade has probably factored in negative numbers for both corn and beans at this stage of the game. That's my take anyway.
Well, still at the end of the day, we have to deal with burdensome ending stocks, maybe not burdensome, but adequate. Some would call them burdensome, especially as we look out to July and begin to figure out, well, what could they be by then? And you could probably make a case for 1.4 billion bushels of corn and maybe something around the level of 250 to 275 million bushels of soybeans. And at those levels, I don't see how much bullish enthusiasm you could get in the marketplace without weather.
Well, and I think that's where the corn market has probably more upside because of the acreage play here. I mean, here in the west, west of the Mississippi, the anhydrous was going on hard earlier this week because we were in the mid-80s, and then we cooled off. But we're going to be back in the mid-70s by the weekend with sunny weather. We had next to no rain here in eastern Kansas, western Missouri, so I think it's going to be very likely that the guys are going to move into the corn acres much more aggressively in this part of the country, because why would you sit and let weather pass you by and the idea that the beans cost less to produce? I just don't know very many producers where one in the hand is not better than two in the bush. And so with that being said, I think if the weather starts to turn favorable for the western corn belt, at the same time it's going to be looked upon as very positive price supportive for the wheat market. And then if you get into the Delta and you lose corn acres, you're going to be looking at bigger bean acres. What I'm getting at, Dave, is if you add all this up, I think between this and the South American harvest and the good yields we're hearing starting in Argentina, you've got a situation where I think the corn has upside later in the year, if not sooner, because of the planting weather. But the beans are going to struggle. And I think that's where the beans have technical upside. They have investment flow upside. But if you're talking about supply-demand fundamental upside, you've got to be careful and be respectful of the burdensome carryover, because 275 is a low number in my book. I think you could probably put a 400 back on the new crop carryover for beans if we stay around that 84, 85 million acres for this year.
So then I guess the question is, as we begin our marketings, continue our marketings, what kind of orders should we put in ahead of those reports, expecting that maybe we might get something out of corn?
Very little has changed since the beef house meeting in my book. I think if you look at the 200-day moving average, it has been an excellent gauge of market sentiment and technicals, and that's sitting around that 412, 411 level. So you're less than a dime away from testing that again as the Dease corn is hitting steady on the week right now at 404 area. If you close above that, then you're looking at a close above that in a meaningful way anyway since May of last year, and that says a lot to me. And I think it puts back on the table that 430 to 440 level that you can get back up to get some hedges in place. I'd love to see it in 1 week, but I don't think that's possible at this stage of the game unless we have a full-fledged collapse in the dollar and we have a true investor asset allocation shift sooner than mid-year this year. I think the big move in the investor asset allocations will probably be in the May-June time period. It would be hard for me to see it here, but stranger things have happened. So right now I'm looking at 430 to 440, as close as we can get to that, heading into the acreage report. Like I said, I think the corn acreage numbers will be bigger. I'm not sure if the USDA is going to show that, though.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. May corn, 379 up 5.5. July, 387 up 5.5. December, 404 up 5. May beans, 9.76, up 14 and a quarter. July, 9.80 and a quarter, up 13 and a half. November, 9.58 and a half, up 12 and one quarter. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 10 o'clock Central Time.